Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 343 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing this evening?
I am doing fantastic, Joe.
That's what I like to hear. I'm excited because this week means we are 1 week away from the summer movie season starting.
Mm-hmm.
And to kick off the summer movie season, of course, we have Gallifrey Birds Roman numeral 4 this Friday, which is the real kickoff to the summer movie season. We're going to beat the Fate of the Furious opening box office numbers with that when that comes out.
I'm pretty sure we will.
Yes, I have. Let's just say I have the inside track on that episode.
Oh, boy.
But enough about that, which we'll get back to a little bit later on in the plugs. Let's get into what we're talking about here this week, of course, because as we predicted correctly, C2E2 would have some news, and it didn't have some news. It had a ton of news. Tons of Marvel news, tons of DC news, which we're all going to unpack here tonight.
Yes.
And I say tonight because I'm imagining that everyone else is listening to this at the same time that we're recording it, which they're not.
Right.
Whether it be, it's kind of what DC has planned and what Marvel has planned going forward toward the end of 2017. And of course, some marketing stuff that Marvel is looking to do with Secret Empire and the reaction to that. I'm sure you could guess how that reaction is.
Everything's par for the course.
A plethora of conventions this weekend. I was surprised on how many conventions there were. Digital sales and freebies. And we're going to be talking about what we've read from this past week, which is Batman number 21, which was the beginning of the Button crossover with The Flash. And in our preview review book, we're revisiting last month's preview review book in Exo Manowar. We're going to talk about the second issue, which is in stores today. We also have what we're most looking forward to coming out this week, as well as our last TV show free episode, because Flash has returned as of the recording of this. Just so you know, folks, I've seen your tweets about what has happened, and I do have to send this out as a spoiler, as a precautionary message. I typically do not get a chance to watch The Flash live.
Mm-hmm.
So while I do appreciate the heads up on the bad wigs, I like to see the bad wigs myself. I don't like to have bad wigs spoiled on me.
Because you want to experience... I want to enjoy you enjoying the bad wigs.
Right,
fresh,
right.
You know?
Oh, man. So we'll have that. And, of course, we have this week's Todd and Joe Have Issues, which is Avengers number 189 from the late 70s, which is a Hawkeye tale. But there's lots of good stuff to be had all around in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could, Todd, let's get into DC first.
Okay.
So, DC, we knew that something was coming that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo were, I don't want to say at the helm of, but they were certainly involved with. Something involving metal, something being forged in metal, whatever it was. Now, we still don't know 100% what it is, but it is leading to some new DC books coming out under, I guess, a heading of Dark Matter. Right. Which is new creations, some old stuff coming back, like Challengers and Damage, with some top-tier creative teams on those books.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Scott Snyder and Andy Kubert doing that new Challengers book, Robert Venditti and Tony Daniel doing a Damage book, James Tynion and Jim Lee, and again, we'll see how long Jim Lee lasts in that book, but anyway, doing Immortal Men. Dan Abnett and John Romita Jr. doing Silencer, and Dan DiDio himself and Justin Jordan doing a book called Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a lot of hoopla about this. Of course, you know, kind of DC, their whole thing was, we can't be caretakers, we need to be creators. We need to be creating new things, and they wanted to give the high-profile people, both artists and writers, they have under contract, new things to do, whether it be new takes on old characters or new things starting from scratch. DC also said that these books are only going to be shipping once a month, they're only going to have one cover, and they're going to be $2.99, which, yep, again, is a little bit different than what a lot of the Rebirth books are, and I think this is in a good way, because, as DC themselves said, we don't want to flood the market with tons of new stuff, because I think these are tiered as, oh, two of the books are coming out in September, two of the books are coming out in October, and one of the books are coming out in December. So we had actually talked about this before, and we can kind of get into our feelings on these. We had talked about this before during DCU, where they did something similar, but they got a bunch of indie creators on a bunch of interesting and weird concepts and dumped them all out into the market all at the same time.
When they were Batgirling comics, remember?
Right. Remember when Batgirling comics was a thing?
Yep.
And unless I'm mistaken, none of those DCU books are still around.
None. I mean, Batgirl's around as a Batgirl book, but...
Right, but it's not the same, like, it's right. The look, but it's not the same Batgirl book that it was when Batgirling was Batgirling.
Right.
So I guess, what are your initial thoughts on this, discussion points, etc.?
I don't know of any of the books that I'm going to be getting right off the top of my head. As we get closer, I'll make decisions on. This is one of those, you know, we always say we don't look at the solicits, but because I like a lot of the creators, but I don't straight up love all the creators. It'll be when I see, like, all right, you know, I like these creators. This is the title of the book. This is more of the premise. I'll make my determinations down the line. Reimagining some older properties, I'm fine with, depending on what they are, as long, you know, as they're not the classics, I'm fine with it. And I really think it's always a good idea to try new things. Without it, you don't get your Deadpools, you don't get your Harley Quinns, you don't get, you know, any of these other characters, you know, your Hitmans, your Booster Golds. You need to try new things. And this is giving creators a chance to do that. And that's how, you know, your industry and your company evolve. So I'm fine with what they're doing. I like the $2.99 price point and the staggering of it. Because as we said, I think the Batgirling of comics too much too fast is what hamstrung that. So I do like the business plan that they seem to have with this idea.
Right. And, you know, obviously the main thing for me is it seems as though DC is learning from their mistakes. You know, they've tried a lot of different things and they're not just repeating the same thing over and over again, hoping for the seventh or sixth time it would work, where that used to be the DC way.
Right.
And now, obviously, they're giving it a try. And obviously, some of these things don't jump out at me as great things, but I look at James Tinney in the Fourth, and he's writing a really good book called Detective Comics, so that's worth a look just on his name alone.
Right.
Robert Venditti is writing some of the best Green Lantern comics since Geoff Johns left the book, so I'll give his new book a try too. And Scott Snyder is, you know, a name guy, and he's doing Challengers. I'm sure that book will be pretty good. So I'm at the very least on board for the first issues of all five of these. Just to give them a whirl, you know, because obviously the tide tends to shift every now and then. But I think I could speak for you that at our hearts, we're probably both more DC than Marvel guys.
Yes, I would say that.
You know, even though my current pull list and the number of books I get would kind of lean toward Marvel more so than anything. But, you know, really, at the end of the day, I wish all DC books were good.
Right. And as I said before, like that $2.99 price point helps to try.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're like, oh, well, you know, you buy two or three books and you get the fourth one free if they weren't $2.99. You know what I mean? If they were $3.99, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Right. If they were double shipping, if they were whatever,
right,
then I'm like, I'm not going to be inclined to try something new.
Right, or more of the new. It would be like, all right, well, Tinian, I'm definitely going to try, but maybe not the Abnett one. You know what I mean? Like, even though I like Abnett, but you lower it to $2.99, I'm like, all right, I could definitely try at least two, you know, maybe more. So I do like we said, what they're doing.
Now, the other thing that concerns me is, and obviously we don't know the full breadth of these things, if all these books are connected as part of, like, some massive universe where you have to read them all,
well, then, I don't think...
you know, I hope that's not the case. But, you know, that could be a no-sell point for me.
I have a feeling, I think that would be, like, that would be the one thing that if they didn't learn from their mistakes. I think this is kind of, I think because they seem to know what they're doing, that if they are all intertwined, they wouldn't do it right out of the gate. You know what I mean? Hopefully. But we'll see.
Right. Now, it looks like they're coming out of whatever that dark metal, the Forge, and all that stuff is that's starting in the DC books next month, but that's literally one book.
Mm-hmm.
It's one book in May, one book in June, and one book in July that leads to these.
Right. If they're on time.
Well, okay. So, these are books that don't start coming out until, you know, September. And the Jim Lee book isn't out until October, so it's giving him a little bit of lead time to get that book taken care of. And I'm sure he knew about this book before it was announced at C2E2 this past weekend, so I would guess he's got maybe an issue done already.
Mm-hmm.
And again, who knows, maybe these are all just mini-series.
Yeah, they didn't say ongoing, right? Mm. They just said new books.
Right. Whereas DC looks to be heading toward the future, Marvel, on the other hand, appears to be looking toward the past.
Mm-hmm.
They are stating that come September, which we've learned over the last couple of years, that September, just like the TV season, is the beginning of the Marvel season for their books. As long as their current event wraps up in time for that. So, starting in September, it's Marvel Legacy. And is it not, it's not Make Mine Marvel Again? They have like some sort of rallying cry. What was the rallying cry for it? I forget.
Old man slogan?
No, that was one of our episodes.
No, I think it is Make Mine Marvel.
Okay.
Because that was,
I think it's like Make Mine Marvel Again.
Something like that, yeah.
So they're putting all the books back to their original numbering. For the most part, they're putting the characters that we know and love, your Thors, Odin's and Thor, your Tony Stark Iron Man, your Bruce Banner Hulks. They're putting them all back into those main books with those original numberings. But also on top of that, they're bringing back the FOOM, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't remember what it was or what it stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like kind of like their little fan club thing, which stood for Friends of Ole Marvel.
Yep.
Which is delightfully lame, but they're also bringing back value stamps.
Yay, value stamps.
Which is slightly different than Lakeside Tattoos.
Okay, I have no idea what that means.
Okay. In 1980, every Marvel book that was released month had a Lakeside Tattoo in it, right? Lakeside mm-hmm. was a company that made removable tattoos.
Or temporary tattoos.
Right, temporary tattoos. So, obviously, it's the 80s, you know, there's not a secondary collector's market. So most mm-hmm. of the people take that out, right?
Right.
So, it's, you know, it's an older book, doesn't have a lot of print run, and then once you take the tattoo out, it's no longer mint. Now, hopefully, during that month that you have those tattoos in there, nothing happened. That would be like a milestone in Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like the debut of the Hobgoblin.
Uh-oh.
So the debut of the Hobgoblin is famously very expensive because there's so few of them that are considered actual mint because they're missing the tattoo.
Which is why maybe I slid this story in or demanded it.
All right.
Because the most famous Marvel value stamp, do you know which one it is?
No. Because you slipped it in, I would guess it was Doctor Doom.
No. It is Shaun of the She-Devil. because that little gem was in Hulk 181. Where people clipped out their Marvel value stamps to collect them in their little Marvel value stamp booklets, which are worth a ton of money. Like they go for like $400 on eBay. But a like anybody who, anyone who has bought a Hulk 181 should go and look and see if their Marvel value stamp is cut out of it. Cause that's the biggest book from the 70s that had one in there, and that really hurts the value of it. Now, no value stamps were on the other side, had story pages. They always made sure there were ads on the other side, so that helps a little bit. But CGC will whack you for, you know, not having that value stamp.
That's pretty funny. I completely forgot about that one. Nobody talks about that much. So I'm clueless when it comes to the value stamps. What did they actually get you, if anything?
Nothing. Just stamps. You collected them all and put them in your little booklet. And you had all the stamps in your little booklet. We always theorized that it was just to get you to buy two copies.
Right.
Because you're going to cut one up. Now, Joe, are you ready for my billion-dollar idea that should get me working at Marvel?
Go for it.
I know how to, because they don't, nobody knows how they're going to do the value stamp. I know how to do the value stamp. You
okay.
know how they're you know how they're bringing back digital codes at Marvel?
How?
They have the little stickers like they always did inside. You peel them off and the code's underneath. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. The stickers were the Marvel value stamps.
Oh, look at you, Joe.
So you're not ruining the comic. You're peeling off the code, and then it's already got a little bit of sticky on the back. You can put it on your little thing that you're going to collect all your value stamps. Boom.
I don't know, Todd. That sounds too good to work.
I'm a modest man who never toots his own horn, but that is a brilliant idea. Call Marvel.
Yeah, I'll get them on the blower.
Mr. Quesada, how are you? I am fine.
So it'll be very interesting to see what those do, if they get you something, or if Todd mentioned just like the olden days, it's just a collection of things.
Right, I think it's just a collection.
Now, the other thing that's coming back is there is going to be a one-shot. Now, I have famously said on the show that I'm kind of done with with Marvel crossover events and these big sort of things and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
However, to launch this Marvel Legacy thing, there's a one-shot comic that is going to be written by Jason Aaron with art by Assad Ribic.
Oh my goodness.
Which allegedly is going to have the return of the Fantastic Four to the Marvel Universe. It's already on the spreadsheet, Todd.
I don't know if I'll pick this up.
No?
No, I'm kidding. If that's the rumor and that's the truth, oh my goodness, then it could only mean that Marvel Movies has the rights to Fantastic Four back.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is going to make a lot of people in my Marvel Puzzle Quest group happy, because if the Fantastic Four is coming back, that means quid pro quo, will it finally get Gambit in the game?
Oh my goodness.
How does this make sense, Todd? I have no idea, but that is the logic.
Okay. Anything to get your Gambit.
Yes. What? We're putting two new Star-Lords in the game? That could be Gambit and Rogue. What are you doing?
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. So, tentatively, I'm not sure how I feel about the old numbers coming back. I'm not sure how I feel, but again, these are not decisions made for me.
Right.
These are decisions made for me, as we've talked about on the show, of the people who go and see the movies and go to pick up a comic book, and Thor is a lady, and Captain America is Falcon,
or
and Iron Man is a teenage girl, and they're confused.
Right.
Right.
Isn't Cap supposed to be fighting Nazis?
Right. Speaking of which, Secret Empire came out. We had the Zero issue, And then the Free Comic Book Day, which is next weekend issue, which I guess has like some sort of big stuff happening in it. But we're not talking about the actual story itself, the actual printed comic book. We're talking about all the things that Marvel is attempting to do to get retailers to promote this.
Mm-hmm.
They are sending the lenticular backing boards that switch between the S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra logos.
Right.
They're sending them t-shirts that have the Secret Empire Hydra logo on them for their employees to wear to show that they've been kind of co-opted by whatever Captain America is doing in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're also sending them non-working replica cosmic cubes.
Non-working? Will not actually alter reality?
I had to put the disclaimer on there just in case.
Cosmic cube will not actually alter reality?
Allegedly.
Oh, I got some stuff that'll alter your reality.
It comes. Now, I will say that the cosmic cubes are filled with Boone's Farm wine.
They have a little straw you pop in the top.
Right.
But yeah, I'm fine with all this.
See, here, okay.
Okay, because I have a hot take about this. You go first.
All right, you sit on your hot take. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to see these lenticular backing boards.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're being given away for free, give me them all.
Right.
I'm sad that they're only sending shirts in sizes large and extra large, as that's not going to fit my corpulent physique. Because whilst I don't care about Secret Empire, I think the shirts look really cool.
But now my question to you, Joe, is...
Yes.
How are people going to feel about you dressing like a Nazi?
Well, I say people shouldn't... Now, are you talking about you dressing as a Nazi like me, specifically one person? Or are you saying you dressing as a Nazi, the royal you, as in like people?
No, you, yourself. Like,
people,
don't you know if you
me.
Wear a Hydra shirt, you're a Nazi?
People should not look at me when I'm in public.
That is
I'm not
true.
Saying like, oh, avert your eyes from the celebrity. It's like, save yourself the trouble. Don't look at me. Looking at me will cause you nothing but questions and confusion. Just let me go by.
Your eyes might go blind to protect your
and
brain.
And that's on a normal day. Why does his beard look like that? Why is his glasses so thick? Why does he wear the same pair of shoes all the time? Keep walking. So, okay, I know where you're going with your hot take, so have at thee.
Just because I'm tired of the whole thing of, like, well, they made Cap a Nazi, and he was created to fight Nazis. And there were two, you know, Jewish people who created Captain America. And it's a slap in the face. And if you, like, you know, in this day and age, having Hydra, which is an offshoot of Nazis, and I'm like, you know what? I can like Hydra as a fictional bad guy group, like, you know, like a syndicate or whatever you want to call it, and not support what they believe in. Joe, I don't know if you know this. I like Dr. Doom. I do not support dictatorship.
No?
Yes, I'm going to go out on a limb here and saying dictatorship is bad. You know, I can say I like the Joker. Doesn't mean I want to, you know, give people toxic laughing gas all day and kill them all. It's just like, I don't know. It just seems like, all right, some of what they've done with Cap and Steve Rogers, I just find a bad story. And you want to critique that, that's fine. But I think we're at a point, and I tweeted this out the other day, that it's just cool to bash Marvel right now. And even more so, and just, I find some of the things people bash, I'm like, you are so far off, you know, topic here that it just, it boggles me. And I'm just like, I don't know. I've had enough and I almost want to, if it wasn't for the show, I would like just get away from all comic book news and all comic book Twitter and Facebook and stuff like, and just get away from it.
Okay.
But that's just my hot take, Joe.
Now, I don't know if you're legit on this. You know, kind of, this is now just a thing for you. I have slowly but surely been paring back the people who I follow on Twitter who are involved in any way in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be writers or artists or journalists or podcasters or whomever it is. because this is all it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost numb to it at this point. So when certain people, multiple people, go on and on about how terrible this is and what this is doing and all the points that you just mentioned, I'm numb to it. Because it's a story. It's not real. Let's see how it pans out. Or do like me. If you think it's heading in a direction that you are not favorable to, quietly take the book off your list, and that's your way. A bit of a silent protest, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We can get in this, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit on the show. I'm a fan of Nick Spencer. I love The Fix. I think Superior Foes of Spider-Man is one of the best comic books printed in recent memory. I'll even go say, if you gave me the time and the opportunity, it would probably crack my top 20 books all time.
Okay.
Love it. Based on that, I gave his Captain America, with Falcon in the lead, a try. Now, I know others at our shop and other people that I talked to, once things started to get a little too political heavy, mm-hmm. they started to drop the book. Because they want to read, like, I understand that it's Captain America, he represents America, and everything else like that. Remember the original to-do about this? And I think it was maybe the Serpent Society were doing, tossing people out at the border?
Yes.
Okay, and then that made it to Fox News, and that ended in a whole thing. And that was kind of like the beginning for a lot of people to be like, okay, the book's getting a little too political for me. I'm out. Well, I hung in there. Then the Captain America Steve Rogers book comes out. And they do the whole reveal that he's Hydra. And I actually attempted this weekend to explain this to someone. And it's way more complicated than it needs to be.
Right.
Because of the people that are saying, by making Cap Hydra, he is a Nazi. And by people saying that, in the book itself, Nick Spencer and Marvel and the editors and everyone else need to double down even more to be like, no. See, while Hydra worked with the Nazis, they were working against the Nazis from the inside, and they were this and they were that, which is, you know, you're getting further and further away from what the original intent of your story is,
mm-hmm.
where at the end of the day, all of this backpedaling that you're doing to answer, and again, I'll be honest with you, a couple hundred people on Twitter, come September, isn't going to mean a thing because you're just reverting everything back to the way that it was before anyway.
Right. But so, he forever has that blight of being a Nazi on his resume, Joe.
But he doesn't. Any character only has a blight on them for as long as you care to have that blight on them. For me, we've discussed this before. There's the J. Michael Straczynski run on Amazing Spider-Man, which gets to a point where Peter is attacked by his super fat, by Gwen Stacy and Norman Osborn's super fast aging ninja children. I have been a Spider-Man reader of comic books since I had extra money in my pocket and could buy comic books. That's when I stopped buying the book. And I mm-hmm. didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't make a big production about it. I just took the book off my pull list. And I said, I'll wait until new writers come on the book. And that storyline has never been brought up again. Ever. Right. Norman Osborn has been in Amazing Spider-Man several times since. He's currently the main villain of the book in the storyline going on right now. So I could be proven wrong. And at the end of the storyline, Dan Slott could pull those two kids out of hiding.
Right.
They just did a storyline that involved clones, which those kids may or may not have been clones. They did not appear there. Gwen Stacy appears there. Multiple Gwen Stacys appear there. Those kids do not appear there. This story is only going to have the legs that you give it. And by you, I mean the royal you. Whether you be Marvel itself, whether you be the editor, whether you be the next writer on Captain America, whether you be the fans of Captain America. The more credence that you give something that you hate so much, the more you are going to push people away from reading comic books altogether.
Because I lay it down to two different things in my thinking the same way. One is Hal Jordan during Emerald Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, you know, he killed the whole Green Lantern Corps. And, oh, it turned out to be Parallax and everything's okay. Spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah. But for a while, you know, Hal Jordan was a mass murderer. And that, for me, I was like, I brushed it off when they brought him back. And then I use the other one is at one point, Maxwell Lord was a cyborg in a cyborg body and all this stuff. And then when they brought Max back after that for when he killed Blue Beetle, they were like, well, what about the cyborg body? And one of my favorite things, I will always give Dan Didio this for credit. He's like, did anybody like it? No. Then we're forgetting it. We're not explaining how this, it was a couple issues. Nobody liked it. Just stop. We don't have to write a one sentence dialogue to explain, like, his soul was transferred by this superhero and he's back in a clone body. And now he's it's like, it just, it goes away. It's
right.
Like, if we forget it, it goes away.
The more credence and the more publicity, the more whatever, the more attention you give to bad storylines, the longer they stay around.
Right.
I don't tell people unless they come out and ask, and then I try to steer them away from the conversation. But when people come up to me and they talk to me about comic books, knowing that I do a comic book podcast, knowing that I read comic books, whatever my association with comic books is, I don't say, no, oh, you don't want to read that because everything kind of stinks now. Or like, oh, let me tell you how bad this is. No, I tell them the good things to try. When people tell me comic books are bad, I say, then you're reading the wrong comic books.
Right. I totally agree.
Right. But that's me. That's not everyone. Now, am I saying that everyone should be like me? No. But it would make my life a lot easier if everyone was like me.
Oh, my God. That's the world I want to live in. Triplicates of everything.
Sometimes quadruplicates.
Oh, my goodness.
So it'll be very interesting to see how all this Marvel marketing shakes out. It'll be very interesting to see what the actual fallout of Secret Empire will be, since we already know that the next storyline come September is Legacy, which is essentially sending things back to the good old days.
But it's not a reboot.
Right, it's just the new season of Marvel Comics, where they'll just do something different next September, I guess.
And then you could go to the Jim Palmiotti School of Writing, whatever number you want on the cover of your books.
One of my, I had been knowledgeable, I knew of Jimmy Palmiotti, I read some of his stuff here and there, but I will never forget that moment at Baltimore Comic Con, before the New 52 came out, and say what you will about the lasting effects of the New 52, and he said that, I'm like, I'm a fan of this man for life. Not this artist, not this writer, not this creator, not this whatever. I'm a fan of this man for life.
Mm-hmm. Cool dude. Cool
yes,
dude.
Absolutely 100%. So, we've squeezed as much as we could about the C2E2 news. Now, I'm guessing while there is a lot of comic book conventions this weekend, there's not going to be as much news. But I would be remiss, of course, if we did not mention these shows. One of them, there's a ton of shows this weekend. There's the Yellow City Comic Con in Amarillo, Texas, who are missing the boat by not having Terry Funk there, who is from Amarillo, Texas, even though he did sell the Double Cross Ranch. And the Fantasticon in Lansing, Michigan. Those are kind of the two smaller end comic book conventions. If you are looking for the entertainment side of things, Todd, that would be the Calgary Expo in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, this weekend, which is going to have everyone from Billy Dee Williams, Billy Dee Williams' son, who apparently does stuff. John Cusack is returning to the convention circuit. Christopher Lambert.
The Highlander.
Mm-hmm. Wallace Shawn, who they mispronounced his name on the thing, or they misspelled his name on there. Tom Cavanaugh is going to be there, who's the draw for me. Stan Lee is going to be there. He's advertised to be there, but it'll be, we'll report next week if he actually shows. But then some other guy is there. I don't know if you saw from the notes before I step on this joke.
No.
Some Capolitti guy. Pete Capolitti. What's his pronunciation?
Peter Capaldi.
Oh, is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
I thought he was like an Italian guy.
Would I ever, I just want to ask this one question. Would I ever get a wrestler's name wrong in any way?
No, there's no proof of that ever happening.
So why would you go and get doctors' names wrong?
Listen,
terrible.
I've never seen his name said aloud. I'm just reading it. They did not have an option to click on the thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Lambert's name is not spelled Lambert, but I know because he's famous. I don't know who this Capolitti guy is. Whatever.
I just had some soup with some Capolittis in
it. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was it Italian wedding soup or?
No, it was just homemade broth.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Oh, just unflavored broth for me.
Just with a side of water.
Oh, there you go. Unflavored ice milk for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yumma dum dum. So, if you like creators of comic books, East Coast Comic Con at the Meadowlands in delightful Secaucus, New Jersey, or wherever the Meadowlands are, mm-hmm. You've got Marv Wolfman, you got George Perez, Denny O'Neill, Simon Bisley, Keith Giffen, a great array of creators there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to mix your media guests and your comic book creators, you're going to head to Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, Missouri. Because on the creator side, you've got the aforementioned Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. You've got the great Jason Aaron. If you're going to Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, one, mark pick Jason Aaron. Two, talk to him about old wrestling.
And his dirty Steelers.
Nah, don't talk about it. Don't talk about the fake sports. Talk about the real stuff. Kevin Eastman, Jim Steranko, Chris Claremont, tons and tons of people. And then on the media side, a plethora of guests as varied from Stephen Amell to Ric Flair.
Woo
indeed. And speaking of Ric Flair and speaking of woo, do you want to know when the next Gallifrey Birds After Dark Long Box Heroes is coming out?
I do.
You can head over to soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where you can find out when all of the shows in the soon-to-be-named network are coming out, just like this show. But again, this is the snake eating its own tail sort of thing. But Long Box Heroes After Dark, Prodigal Sons Podcast, Prime Defective, Fresher in Parlance, maybe they'll be back. I know Talking Gimmicks came back after being off for a while. Profane Arguments, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, Paladins of Voltron, AIM Downsides Podcast. Anytime any of these shows are released, or if any of the people on these shows are on other shows, we will let you know there if they remind me, which I hope they do. That's on them sometimes. I can't listen to every podcast ever. I try.
I do too, but I never get around to it.
One, of course, that I would be remiss to mention is friend of the show Mark Cole on his Winter Palace podcast this past week had Al Ewing on. Al Ewing, who has written a ton of stuff for Marvel. He's been doing Mighty Avengers, which then turned into Ultimates. He did New Avengers. He did the recent Cosmic Champion or Contest of Champions. He's also doing one of the Inhuman books that are being launched called The Royals. And he also has something to do with Doctor Who.
He's written a few issues.
What?
Yes.
Well, be that as it may, don't not listen to on Mark's show. And we'll include the links to that, of course, as we always do in the show notes, just like all the convention stuff and so forth.
I don't think he's any relation to the family that was on Dallas, the TV show, right?
No.
The Ewings?
That'd be interesting if he was.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. So getting into digital sales and freebies, Marvel is having a sale on a bunch of their collections of X-Factor. I don't think there's a new X-Factor book, but I think that probably ties into a new Peter David book coming out this week.
Maybe.
And that's one of the more prolific things that he has done. Dark Horse is having a sale on all of their alien-related books. And I mean, like, you know, the H.R. Geiger-looking aliens thing. You know, that aliens. Not just generic aliens like Greys with the big heads or something.
Right, because the new Alien movie's coming out soon.
Oh, that's probably what it is. And then DC is having a collection on Flash stuff. Because Flash returned this week, which we'll be talking about on next week's show. And they've got New 52, they've got random miniseries and stuff. Now, they don't have any of the new Flash, like from Rebirth, in this collection.
Right.
But they do have a ton of stuff from the Mark Waid run and the Geoff Johns run.
Two good runs.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's
of Flash.
Right, it's a bunch of assorted issues. And I tell you, man, so I'm looking at the list. So, from the Mark Waid run, it's like, oh, here's issue 108, 109, 110, 111, then we'll skip to 133. They also have 105 in there, but it looks like it's Rogue-centric issues, right?
Right.
And then the Johns run, it's like 175, 176, then 178. And then they do, like, from the, like, they do a couple in the 80s. It's not a full thing there, but the one that makes me the hottest is they have issue of The Flash by Mark Waid, issue 69 and issue 70, which are parts 2 and 4 of a crossover with Green Lantern. Those Green Lantern issues, not part of the sale.
Guerrilla Warfare thing?
Yes.
So look at me. Bam.
Well, you are more the Flash. Just like you are more the Daredevil fan, you are also more the Flash fan than I am.
I love guys in red costumes.
Right. And since Daredevil came well after The Flash, which is true.
That is true.
Yes. So, of course, check those out. There are no new freebies. It is still the same freebies that we had from a couple weeks ago. Actually, no, I apologize. I'll have to update this here. The new freebies from Marvel this week is Generation X, the Chris Bacallo drawn book from the 90s. Weapon X number 1, which is some sort of weird thing with Sabretooth on the cover. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Winter Soldier number 1, and it's not the Brubaker one, it's the Alice Cott one, and Avengers Standoff Alpha. These are all books that are on are for free this week from Marvel.
Look at you digging deep and finding new stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's the free stuff. Let's get into what we read from this past week, Todd. And the book that the two of us were most looking forward to coming out this week was Batman number 21, the beginning of the Button Saga, with written by Tom King, with art by Jason Fabok, right?
Yes, Jason Fabok.
All right, I'll let you start on this one.
Basically, this is the beginning, like you said, the beginning of the Button storyline. As it starts out, we see the character that may be a legionnaire in Arkham screaming that that it's coming. You know, this whole thing with there's a hockey game, and she's like, this is the moment. This is where it started. This happens on the ice, and we're going to get there. So we jump to the Batcave, and it's Batman examining the button near the Psycho Pirate mask, and energy shoots out of it, and he sees his dad from Flashpoint for a second and realizes something's up, and he calls Barry to come in because the case that they're working on, he's like, this has happened. And he's like, I'm fighting, which I love the fact that he's fighting samurai roids or whatever you want to call them. And I was like, I'm going to need 2 minutes and I should be there.
Well, no, he says just a minute.
I'm sorry. Minute. Yes. Because there's something that got lodged in my brain. It's just, I need 1 minute and I'll be there. And then a waft of wind comes in and Batman's like, oh, you're early. It's not like you. And he turns around and it's not Barry. It's somebody very, very nasty. Are we mentioning who it is, Joe?
Being that he is on the cover of the next issue that comes out today, I say yes.
Okay. It is Eobard, the Reverse Flash, and it is Batman vamping for time, that 1 minute that he needs for Barry to show up fighting the Reverse Flash. And I lost my mind. To me, I never thought Batman fighting the Reverse Flash would be as good as it is. Fabox art, the story, him, like I said, vamping for 1 minute, and it's all told in Watchmen 9-panel pages, which is fantastic for most, not all of it, but 9-panel pages of this minute, and each panel is ticking off the seconds left. And Batman, you know, pulls out a few tricks, and I absolutely love it. This is my Eobard, because I looked in who wrote the book and stuff like that. And it looks like they said, like, Jeff Johns helped, and the guy who, Williamson is the guy who's writing Flash helped. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the best Reverse Flash I've read in a long, long time. I really like the book, though. They kind of do something to Eobard at the end that kind of ticks me off, because I've seen this like a million times and it never sticks, but we'll see what happens.
Right, so you're starting to get all of these pieces of pre-New 52, New 52, even pre-New 52, you know, with the Watchmen stuff. You're starting to see it all finally weave together here.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is going to lead to, of course, is going to be whatever is going on with DC for the summer, and of course going forward, as we kind of discussed at the beginning of the show. But I really like this. As you mentioned, Eobard shows up, and the way that you get someone over, to use the wrestling vernacular,
mm-hmm.
is to have them put a beating on the most over guy around.
Right.
If you beat up the most over guy around, then you are instantly over.
Mm-hmm.
So by Eobard coming in and just whipping up on Batman, granted it was only for a minute... Mm-hmm. Because they stretched it out, as Todd mentioned, with the Watchmen storytelling of the 9-panel grid and everything else like that, you feel the length of how long a minute could be when you were taking on a speedster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reading this in print, of course, as you and I did hear from people who read these books digitally, and they said that it was almost as, if not more, effective by having just a panel, the panel, the panel, and like seeing the timer ticking down as you're going panel by panel by panel, as opposed to seeing the 9-panel grid like we did.
Right, because you see all the seconds on the 9 panels as you're looking at it, where it's probably going from panel to panel, going, you know, 24, 23, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I could see how that would have a greater effect. That would actually would have been really cool.
Right, so then it's, you know, obviously Eobard showing up, he's in the cover of the next issue, it's the other person that shows up at the end of this issue, I think is the one that we need to kind of keep under wraps, and I know a couple weeks ago, DC kind of let the cat out of the bag themselves, that Jay Garrick shows up as part mm-hmm. of the storyline.
Right.
And it's not Jay Garrick who shows up at the end of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone else, which makes me very excited to see where all this stuff goes to, because... this is a very quick, a very easy read. Your point characters, Batman and Flash, are easily accessible during this. I think this actually would be a great jumping on point for someone who's like, I don't know what's going on with all this DC Universe stuff.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, you like Batman, you like The Flash, you like Watchmen, read this.
Right, I agree.
Even though the only real Watchmen stuff is the button going next to Pico Pirate's mask.
Pico Pirate.
If I haven't explained that to you in a while, well, way back in the day when we used to play HeroClix, you had to register a username through the company. The person who was the judge for the HeroClix had to do that.
Right.
If you choose a name that was already taken, it'll be like, oh, that's already taken. How about this? Our friend DJ wanted Psycho Pirate.
Mm-hmm.
The person, the judge, who was putting in his information, did not give DJ the option to choose something else. So instead of Psycho Pirate, he got Pico Pirate.
Okay.
So to this day, whenever I think of the Psycho Pirate, I always think of Pico Pirate.
Gotcha.
Sometimes you have to explain these jokes, and not off air. That's free for you. So yes, definitely check this book out. Highly recommended. And again, you don't have to read a ton of stuff. I think it ends up being like 6 issues altogether, maybe 8 between the 2 Batman and Flash books. It's not anything extra. If you're already reading Batman, you're already reading Flash. It's not a huge chore to catch up on this story.
Right.
So the other book that we both read from this past week is our preview review book. We had enjoyed the first issue of Valiant's Exo Manowar with that relaunch, written by Matt Kent with art by Tomas Giorello. So I'm like, hey, let's talk about the second issue. We enjoyed the first one so much, let's talk about this.
Right.
So Eric, at the beginning of the issue, is having a conversation with his armor. He still does not want the armor on, and of course the armor points out to him that you're the one who did this, you and I are married, literally and figuratively, and it's not because of me, it's because of you. Eric is blaming the armor for wherever the armor goes, horrible things in war and so forth follow, but of course that's the kind of crux of the issue, is that against his better judgment, Eric is leading a force against the rival alien army. He is given his marching orders, and they're more or less a suicide squad. He's given, like, a traitor, a bunch of bums, essentially, a bunch of people who will not be missed if they die. And they are given their marching orders. Eric is given other information, I guess, from the guy who saved him from the previous issue.
Right, an officer in the army.
Right. They decide to, instead of going left, they go right. Depending on, you know, how things will go from there will be seen, but obviously are met with some opposition. They're informed more marching orders, and at every turn, Eric is just going against the orders he is being given.
And it seems to be working.
Right. And that's the thing, seems to be working.
Right. That's immediately the take I took on it, is Exo Manowar gets a suicide squad to take. I literally was going to explain it that way. So I love that you did that. But like in there, there's, like you said, there's another officer feeding Eric the false information because he looks at him as a threat to his job. And he's like, I don't know who to trust. I just want to go back to my farm and be with this woman and try to find peace. And like you said, it's the, you know, it always finds him wherever he goes. And I like the whole interaction between him and the armor and the mission. And he's just a bad, bad man. And I'm waiting to see who turns on him first in his little group, because they're quite an eclectic little group that I'm interested in finding out about more. And I think the best part about this book is, because I never really read much Valiant other than Quantum and Woody, is that because everything that I saw about Exo Manowar was he was, you know, on Earth doing these stories. He's a barbarian from our planet. He's on a new planet, fresh start, new characters. I don't need to know any of his backstory. So it's kind of like a fresh start for me, and I actually really like it, that I don't need to be bogged down in all this continuity.
Right. They give you just enough that you need to know about him and not his entire backstory, because he's a character that, you know, essentially has been being published with breaks in it since the 90s, but they're giving you just what you need to know about him to move this current storyline along. I'm sure if I knew more about him, there are things that would kind of be paying off a little bit more. But as it stands, this is a very enjoyable book, and more importantly, a beautiful book. The art in this book is unbelievably gorgeous.
I agree.
Like, I don't know if this is painted or not, but it certainly has like a painted feel to it.
Or if it's just the coloring that they use and the shaded pencils makes it look like a painting.
Right, right.
I think that's more along the lines, because that was always his style when he was doing Conan. That's what it looked like.
Right. So definitely check that out. Both books, of course, highly recommended to check out. If you're looking for more stuff, you can head over to longboxheroes.com and check out the pull post, where every Tuesday, around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them mailed to your house, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, be ready, know what's coming out. two things that Todd and I have been doing with the Pull Post is, one, we're keeping track of how many books we're getting from each publisher, so that at the end of the year we can see how many books we've gotten in total, and of course how many broken up by publisher as well. The gap is starting to close. Todd only is ahead of me by 5 books overall for the calendar year, but I could feel those numbers changing as May is creeping up on us. The other thing that we attempt to do is guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. I am only behind by 1 with 7 correct guesses. Todd has 8 correct guesses. I'm wondering if I could close the gap here.
Gap closure.
Okay. So, Shot in the Dark. I'm going to guess the book that you were most looking forward to coming out this week is the aforementioned, teased Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider number 1?
It is not.
Ah, okay.
It is the second issue of The Button, The Flash.
Ah, there you
go. I am all in on this story. If it wasn't for what happened in this issue, do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Ben Reilly was the one, but I loved it so much that I'm like, oh man, this storyline really grabbed me. So I'm looking over your list.
Yes.
Is the book you're looking forward to most also Flash 21?
It is not.
Oh, that was my bad.
As much as I'm excited about this book, and hey, listen, it's a big giant superhero story. It's Batman. It's The Flash. Both these books have been really, really good. The book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is Kill or Be Killed number 8.
That was my second guess.
There you go.
So right, second guess was right next to it.
Right. Does not count for half a point.
Right.
So we'll be talking about those two books and who knows what else. I'm sure more preview review books as we're trying to make that a regular feature. Just like another regular feature of the show is, if you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around and check out whether it be past poll posts, past episodes of this show, past After Darks, past Todd and Joe Have Issues, whatever we've done in the past, all exists on the internet. Nothing could ever be scrubbed from the internet. Even if you say something stupid on Twitter, somebody takes a screen cap of it, and then they delete that tweet, that still somehow exists somewhere.
It's in the ether.
It's in the aether.
Mm-hmm.
But also, at longboxheroes.com, we have our little store button there underneath our logo where you can buy shirts or stickers with that same logo on those shirts. Very stylish shirts, very nice stickers. You know how I feel about t-shirts, you know how I feel about stickers. Be on top of that. But if you don't need any of those things for some reason, even further up on the top of the page, almost the very first thing that you see is our Amazon banner. Anything that you purchase through Amazon, if you do our banner first, we get a little bit of kickback. And I mention it all the time here. We're not going to tell you to subscribe to Prime or Amazon Music or Bounties or anything else like this. Just the fact that you take that one extra step to go to our site first, then to Amazon to buy whatever it is that you want, means a lot to both myself and Todd. Every little bit counts. And that's why we always like to read some of the notable things that were purchased through the Amazon click-through. Some of the things to mention here on this show would be a graphic novel called The Kingdom, Rise of the Ape King, a Treadmill Parts Zone, and that's all together as one word, Treadmill Key with Round Clip Magnet. Are you aware of these things, Todd?
No.
If you are running on a treadmill, there's like a credit card thing that you put into the treadmill.
Right.
That's on a string that you're supposed to clip to yourself, right?
Right.
That if something happens to you, like say you slip or you trip or you fall down, as long as that clip is connected to you, as you move, that credit card thing comes out and it's an auto like shut off for the treadmill.
It's a kill switch, so you don't land on the right. on the treadmill and shoot off like a rocket.
Right. This is somebody bought a replacement one of those.
Oh.
Somebody also purchased the Universal Rug Rake Carpet Rake / Pet Hair Remover.
Ooh.
I could cut up the middleman on that one, just don't have pets.
You won't need the pet hair remover.
Right, but then you're not buying stuff through our Amazon link. There were other things purchased through our Amazon link this past week, Todd.
There were?
But you'll have to tune into After Dark to hear those. I wonder why.
Oh my goodness.
Salacious.
The little character next to Jabba the Hutt?
No, that's, well, yes, but no. Next week, I want everyone to purchase the Salacious Crumb and Bib Fortuna Jabba the Hutt 3-pack of Funko Pops.
Well, that would be fantastic.
And get one for me, because Bib Fortuna is my unsung favorite lame Star Wars character.
You know what? If anybody has a Nintendo Classic, Joe's looking for one, too.
Oh, boy. It's a sore subject. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about Todd and Joe have issues.
Can I back up 1 second?
Uh-oh.
We have an art attack today.
Oh, we had an art attack. What's going on?
Yeah, look at me on top of stuff. It was...
You need to ring a bell when you're going to surprise me with stuff like this.
Dingle, dingle, dingle. I'm ringing the bell, Joe.
Gotcha.
It's a Scrooge McDuck from Don Rosa by Jesse DeJong.
Oh, yes. Super mega ultra mass power listener of the show, Jesse DeJong.
That's right. He wrote, it's no havoc, but here's a sketch of Uncle Scrooge by legendary Donald Duck and Scrooge artist Don Rosa, who's one of the nicest guys I ever met at a con.
Oh, yeah?
I got something for somebody else, because I'm not a big Scrooge McDuck fan, but somebody else I know was. And so I got him some prints and some stuff. And this is the thing that I love about Don Rosa, is that he has a chair. He gets a chair for the other side of the table. And I'm like, oh, can I just get some prints? He's like, sit down, we'll talk. And I'm like, okay, I just didn't want to. He's like, no, let's talk. He's like, what prints you want? Like, he you know what I mean? Like, makes you feel important while you're there.
Right.
And that's really nice. I really like that. But Joe, don't ever call them DuckTales.
Okay.
Don't. That gets him hot. All right. Not so much DuckTales, but call them, you did the DuckTale comics. He's like, nope. DuckTales was the cartoon. They did a comic of it, but I'm the Scrooge McDuck artist for year. I just think he doesn't. He's trying to be the guy who's like, I know it became bigger as DuckTales, but I refuse to call it that. So don't wind him up, Joe.
All right, I won't wind him up.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that won't wind anybody up is our Todd and Joe have issues this week.
Mm-hmm.
Where we discuss Avengers 189 from the late 70s. The Avengers just got done taking on... Who was Arsenal?
I think so. I'm not quite
right,
sure.
Not the Arsenal from DC Comics. Apparently there's more than one Arsenal.
Or the soccer team from England.
Right. Written by Stephen Grant with art by John Byrne, by the way.
I wonder whatever became of him.
John Byrne?
Yeah.
I think he's doing okay.
I hope so.
So now I also want to mention here, and so it says Stephen Grant's script, and there's a little asterisk next to it. And then toward the bottom it says, plot by Grunwald Grant Stern, creative kibitzing by Dave Michelinie. So a lot of people involved with this one issue.
I love how you mangled all their names.
No, I got Grunwald Grant and Stern correct.
I always heard it was Grunwald.
Oh, whatever.
And then you got Michelin Man wrong too. I always heard it was Michelinie.
Oh, okay. That one I knew I was gonna be wrong either way.
Right.
So after they're done with this battle with Arsenal, Thor is leaving and the Falcon is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we do discuss some of these things on After Dark, but some of the way that Falcon's dialogue is written could be seen as problematic.
Oh my goodness. I like when he says Massa later.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yes, that one kind of took, that was the part that was like, oh boy, okay, all right, this is how we're gonna play that one.
Mm-hmm.
But so as they show up, we're greeted with the rest of the Avengers, but most importantly, we're met with the main character of the book, which is Hawkeye.
Right.
He is upset because he thinks immediately since Falcon's back, he's going to be kicked out of the Avengers, because this is the time when the Avengers had, like, their government liaison.
Right.
Henry Peter Gyrick, and they would kind of alternate people on the Avengers from time to time, you know, for whatever whims would be seen. Like, later on in the issue, Wanda, Scarlet Witch, decides that she and the Vision are going to take some personal time off, and Gyrick blows a gasket. And I'm sure that's something that would be paid off later. And that's another thing that we'll get into, of course, before we talk about like the main crux of this. So apparently, while he is getting his $100 a week government stipend,
yes,
Clint Barton Hawkeye, while being a world famous Avenger who no one recognizes, is destitute and is living in what could be favorably called a slum in New York City.
What? That was in no way squalor.
Yes, in the classic, what would say, sitcom or 80s movies trope, his window is a brick wall.
Yep.
That he does have a picture of Wanda taped to, for some reason.
Wanda's a nice gal.
I guess. So, he's lamenting that he doesn't have any job opportunities, and then he sees an ad, a want ad, in the newspaper for Cross Industries, and in a familiar trope, he breaks into their building and says, "Hey, your security stinks. I was able to break in. Hire me for security."
Right.
So they do, and on his first night of the job, he's in the watch room talking about how happy he is that he has his own coffee cup.
Yep.
And if you look at the panel, he does have a coffee cup with a giant letter H on it.
Mm-hmm.
He has his feet up on the desk and is apparently reading some sort of skin magazine with the centerfold all the way out.
Oh, Clint.
To which, if I did not already love Hawkeye, this issue just made me love him more. And it made me love this era of comics so much more. Just unabashed, this is the flavor of the time. Hawkeye is kind of like a destitute, but he's also a sleazeball. He's the only thing he knows is being a carny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Deathbird shows up. And while they have their fight, the two of them are describing what their weapons do and what their weapons are, what the other person's weapons are doing to them when they're being done to them.
That's, you need to describe what's happening in the panels. That was comics, Joe. Comics.
And I loved it. And I loved every minute of it, Todd. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, of course, Hawkeye gets the jump on Deathbird. She gets taken away to prison, but not before.
Yes, yes.
Hawkeye dips her and gives her a deep soul kiss.
That's right. No, there's nothing like the woman who's restrained being taken off to custody just getting mouth humped before you let her go. That's fantastic.
So of all the things that happened in this issue, Todd, which one is the most that would not fly in 2017?
The deep kiss.
I would say the deep kiss, absolutely. And then Clint's response afterwards, it's like, "Hey, honey, I'll call you. Don't call me. I'll call you."
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
That's a hero for the kiddies, right?
Would you say, Todd, that Hawkeye was and again, I don't know the lineage. You would know better than I do. Is Hawkeye in this iteration a proto Guy Gardner?
What year was this book?
1979.
Maybe a slight template. But
okay.
I'd have to read more because I'm looking at it. I didn't read this era of comics. I'm wondering if he was this ornery because he lost his job or if he was like this all the time. Do you know what I mean?
I have a feeling he was like this all the time.
Because, man, does he just demolish Falcon in his head while they're at the Avengers mansion?
Mm-hmm.
He just drags him through the mud. And I'm like, ooh, Clint, you're nasty.
He's salty. Like, and then,
salty. He is like a certain UFC fighter that I know. But that's the way I describe him. But even later, he even just like, in Deathbird, he's like, "Who do you think I am, Miss Marvel? Come on. You met her, she was a rookie. I've been on the Avengers." I'm like, wow, did he just slap down Miss Marvel too?
He did, yes.
Right. But in things that I really liked about this book is when Deathbird does show up, he's so mad, he thinks it's Falcon for a second.
Right, right.
Because of the silhouette. And I'm like, that's a cool burn thing and story thing. That was really great. I really did like that. Trying to think of like other things that they did. I was like, I thought this was a good, it looked beautiful. It was fun. I enjoyed this issue as a one shot, just little book. A tension breaker and a storyline, probably.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed this. This was a fun, light read. And if I had more time in my life, I would want to read more of this era of Avengers.
Totally agree. So I'm glad you showed me this, a little Avengers. I'm mad it wasn't Kang, but that's okay.
Can't have everything.
You can't have Kang all the time.
Right. So I'm going to take the reins here. And I'm going to posit our book for next week.
Right.
And we, Todd and I have kind of a master list of the books that we want to discuss. And we typically kind of alternate flip-flop between, you know, who picks what and so forth. But there are certain books that I kind of have in my memory that if by some chance they show up as one of the weekly sales that are going on.
Right.
Then we kind of default to that book. And this is one of those times. As part of that flash sale that's going on, one of the books there is Flash number 182, which has the fancy Brian Boland Captain Cold book cover.
Oh my goodness, such a good cover.
First of all, such a cover, but this is the story that not only made me that will make me a Flash fan for life, but also made me a Captain Cold fan for life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say any more about this because I don't want to oversell it.
Right.
But essentially what this is Captain Cold is tracking down the person or persons that he thinks murdered his sister.
Yep.
And we get more of Captain Cold's backstory, and we're off to the races from there. Written by Geoff Johns, art by Scott Collins. You know, Geoff Johns, definitely one of the best Flash writers of all time. Scott Collins, he became a favorite artist of mine, not only from this book, but also this issue in particular.
Right.
And at this point, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I could go on and on because as a Flash fan, but I'm going to save it all for next week's show.
Right. Again, I can go on more about this here as well, but I'm going to refrain from doing so.
Right.
So I think that's it, my good man.
I think that's everything.
All right. So it's been a long night for some, a short night for others. But I do thank you all for bearing with us. And for episode 343 of Long Box Heroes, we'll catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Woo!